who become overcomer of their struggles and their weaknesses, their fears, they were men and women just like you and me. But the greatest mystery and the greatest power, which is imputed, or I can say indwelled, in the church age believer, and if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, guess what? The power Moses do not have, the power David was not possessing, the power was not, you know, manifested completely in the Old Testament, that power dwells in you. And that power is always in you, around you, beneath you, before you, everywhere you go. But the challenge is, do we let that power work through us? That is the struggle. The power is not, I can say, in pages or in ink. The power is in the spoken word of God become alive in our life when we let that power work through us. So these 300 men in the book of Judges, we just learned from Pastor Gene, and one man was a leader. And I can see in this group, in this place, there's so many leaders that God desired to raise, like a man, Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man of sorrow, and also he was a man of prayer. And prayer doesn't cost anything. It's a privilege that we can anytime come are on knee and ask and beg God to do miraculous thing He has done throughout the century. Through those people who do not have the Word of God completely as we hold in our hands. So this morning we are going to focus on 1 John 4:4. And I want to remind you, the Bible, the Word of God, is not a systematic article on theology or moral or any history or scientific, you know, topics. Bible is, it is the revelation of God that teach us, lead us, and guide us, and show us who is God and what we have given by Him to one person, the awesome, mighty soldier, champion, and His name is Jesus Christ. So before we step into read 1 John 4:1 to 6, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your power, especially the power that dwells in us. God, the Holy Spirit. Father, give us wisdom, understanding that what you have been teaching us through your servants, through your word, Father, give us strength to take that word in our life and let you work in our life to manifest the love, the power of Jesus Christ in this day and age. So Father, lead me and guide me and use me and hide me behind the work of Jesus Christ. And your Son Jesus' name be magnified and make known, and many people encouraged by this message, equipped and stand firm in their own territory, whatever the battles they are going through in their mind, in their soul, in this dark age. Lead us and guide us. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. First John 4:1-6. John, as we know, the writer of the Gospel of John, three letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and also the writer of the book of Revelation. So he's writing this book. He's writing this letter to believers, the struggles they were facing. The conflict was going on in the early church, and he's telling them. And his focus in this chapter is test, discern, observe what is truth and what is lie. What is darkness? What is light? What is death and what is life? And that is his focus on this chapter. Testing the spirit and discerning what is false and what is true. So he's saying just like this. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God, that is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children. You have overcome them, because the greater is He who is in you, the body of Christ, the believers, every child of God who became a believer by faith alone in Christ alone, than he who is in the world. Satan's, his false followers, who's only aiming to destroy the body of Christ. And I want to focus on in these verses. As we've been listening about the life of Elijah, wonderful man, young man from very good family, when he saw prophet Elijah, and he said, follow me, and guess what? He left everything and follow him. And he was anointed. He's like have a double portion. If Elijah did 7 miracles, he did 14. Some says Elijah did 14, so he did 14, 2 times is 20. So, 28. So, we have so many records about their life. Anyways, the point I want to make here, that we are God's children and His power dwells in us. That power were never given to anybody in the past ages. Anywhere we find in the scripture, especially in the Old Testament, man of God, woman of God was dwelled by God the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ or God Himself power. And after that, they were just, like a common man. Like the life of Samson. Anytime he empowered by the power of God, guess what? He do miraculous things. So the point and the thing is that in Old Testament, there was no way that we can see that God was dwelling in mankind. Only in this age. And I believe after this age, there will be no way that God, the Holy Spirit, is going to do miraculous thing like He's going to do through you. But He is great and greater than those who are against us. The enemy is Satan. The enemy is evil one. The enemy is known throughout the Bible by many titles. I know you guys have heard a lot. Adversary, the enemy of Jesus Christ, also the enemy of church. So there's many scriptures, so I want you guys and myself to focus on. He who is in you, that is God the Holy Spirit. And that was his focus and his attention, the Apostle John. For his believer to understand because they were fighting early in that time period with a false teacher, and they are known like Gnostic, if I'm saying the right pronounce, Gnosticism. And their main focus was, yes, we believe Jesus exists, but not really in human body. Yes, he have done some greatest things, but they were denying him. I remember we were in Colorado, and we were having conference, and we were just getting ready. And outside, I saw one person, and Spirit of God just said, go and talk to him. And I start talking to him, and guess what? He said, I'm agnostic. I said, wow, good word. So I knew what, but I start talking to him and get to know what is, you know, his faith and system. He said, we believe everything. We are a people of, you know, with a focus to dig deep and have a knowledge. I said, what about Jesus Christ? Oh, we believe Jesus. We believe Jesus, and only in this sense that he was a great example, and we follow his example and his character, but we don't really believe that he exists. And I say, okay, wait a minute. You saying you guys all agnostic follow Jesus Christ, but really you don't believe? How can you believe someone if you say he never exists? Oh, he said, no, you don't understand this and this. And that moment the scripture was coming in my mind. He's confused. He's confused as Corinthians, and I think in Paul talking to the church of Corinth, he's saying, my God, our God is not the God of confusion. That person was completely confused. He said, we look for God in everything. He's in you, I can see. I said, wow. Yes, I know he's in me, but you have no idea about real deal. So, that's their agenda. They like to have a knowledge about the true one, but they are deceived. And same was problem in early church. John's focus was to the believer. Understand that the power dwells in you. It's a awesome blessing from God, and he is God the Holy Spirit. So I want to share some scriptures. Before I share some scriptures, I want to share one email long ago I wrote to my wife. And it is wonderful, you know, comparison. Because these all lines are from Jesus Christ to his beloved, his church. And I applied these all things when I was helping my wife. And maybe you are struggling somehow, somewhere, and you need to hear this. And I wrote this. Whenever you call me, deep within your heart, I will be there for you. Whenever you need me in your life, no matter what you need, I will be there for you. Whenever you want a friend to share your sorrow or pain or private matter of life, I will be there. Whenever you are very happy and you need a friend to share your happiness, I will be there. Whenever you will be hopeless and you need someone to encourage you, I will be there. Whenever you want to weep and you need a shoulder, I will be there. Whenever you are helpless and you need human help, I will be there. Whenever you want to praise God and you need someone to sing a praise song, I will be there. Whenever you are discouraged and disturbed and annoying and looking for mighty word to encourage you, I will be there. Whenever worldly circumstances are not in your favor and you consider that no one is in your favor, I will be there. Whenever you have a difficult questions in your life, and you can't solve them alone, I will be there. Whenever you need, whenever you feel you are not beautiful, to praise your beauty, I will be there. Whenever you lose something very special from your life and you can't discover as a helper, I will be there. Whenever you need someone to walk with you in dark and a lonely path, I will be there. Whenever you need eyes to help you to see in darkness, I will be there. Whenever you need, whenever you are disappointed and you need someone to comfort you, I will be there. Whenever you are in trouble, even there is a fire and any person do not want to be stand with you, I will be there. I will be everywhere with you because I love you. Carrie. All these things that I said belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus said this to His bride, the church, the body of Christ, His beloved. But I say this all to you, my bride, Carrie, because I love you more and more, you have no idea. So this letter I wrote her, and I was praying, I saying, Lord, this is a wonderful time to share because it's a perfect timing. Whenever you are alone, Jesus Christ will be standing with you. No matter it's darkness, no matter it's hopeless situation, no matter what you are going through, His word is true and God never lie. That's why He said, I am the greatest one that ever was known on this earth, or maybe ever anybody can ever discover. Jesus Christ is the only mighty one that is a great example for all of us, especially gentlemen. If you want to be a wonderful man of God, follow the steps of Jesus Christ. If you want to be a greatest lover on this unfaithful world, unfaithful time, this age, follow the steps of Jesus Christ. If you want to be a comforter, follow the steps of Jesus Christ. If you want to be a helper, follow the steps of Jesus Christ. If you want to be a great leader, follow the steps of Jesus Christ. If you want to be a radical for Jesus Christ, follow the steps of Jesus Christ. And you can do that because His power lives in us. His power lives in us. And throughout the decades and centuries, we can see the Old Testament. Noah was able to make that giant's ark because he was led by God. And we can, you know, make change in this time period we are living. So do not let yourself discourage. Do not listen to the enemy, the spirit of Antichrist. It was back then, and that spirit is right now working throughout in United States, working out throughout the global. Only one purpose: to destroy believer, discourage believer, and deceive them. And that the spirit of Antichrist, which is the enemy of Christ, here to destroy us. But guess what? He's very jealous because even he is known that he have a lot of power, but he do not possess the power that we have. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, we are the temple of God, the Holy Spirit. Simple way, God live in us. So, That was the reason he want to know his reader, the body of Christ in that time. That Jesus Christ is true and really exists and really died and really rose to heaven, the third heaven, and he is coming back. That's the struggles in Pakistan. They say he's a good example. They said he is a, you know, good teacher, good prophet, but they will ignore, they will reject that he ever died on the cross. That's the faith of Islam. They don't believe. They say, yes, he's a good teacher, he's a prophet, he's a wonderful example to follow, but dying on the cross, no, somebody else took his place. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Whoever do not confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and the only way it is, the statements come from the person who do not believe in Christ, who is also known the spirit of Antichrist. And that the spirit working in a many way, in this state and in this country and many other countries. So, my question, all we know, everybody know that we are indwelled by God, right? Yes. Who is believer and can say confidently, yes, we are believer. So, we are army of God. So, question is that, we have a freedom in this country. We have a freedom in this country, so why we are hesitating? Why we are scared? Why we are sometimes, you know, lose hope? As I just wrote or read this letter, whenever you are discouraged, he will be there to give us encouragement. His word is powerful, as Pastor Mark was mentioning. Joshua, be strong and be courageous. Do not lose your heart. Do not forget that you have fought under the power of God when Moses was lifting his hands, and you have seen that there was a, you know, sun standing and there was no darkness, and you fought and you did miraculous things through the power of God. Over and over in this chapter, after Moses died, God was reminding him, be courageous, be strong. So please, don't forget that. The spirit of Antichrist in many forms. Working in a government, working in schools, working in offices, working in many, many places. It's not only like sometimes people say, oh, the Antichrist is coming and maybe he's coming from another country or this and this. It's talking about here that every spirit does not confess Jesus is not from God, that is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming. It is coming. And now it is already in this world. And that spirit exists in many forms. So we are soldiers if we believe in Jesus Christ, and we having a battle every day. And that battle is against lie, darkness, selfishness, all those who, you know, not in the favor of God. So, I want to read or talk about the armor of God. Let's talk about the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, everybody know them. But most of time we fail to remember and use them. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we can read from verse 10. If we study the book of Ephesians, we can see simply a wonderful pattern from Paul. He's encouraging the body of Christ. In the first chapter, he's telling them, as you train a little baby and expecting one day he will be walking and have strong muscles so he can walk and stand firm. It's the same. In first three chapters, Paul is, with the power of God, telling everything they need to understand the concept who they are in Jesus Christ. Most of the time we forget when we call by cosmic people, hey, you are worthless, you are not good enough, you are not usable, you are tiny, you are skinny, you are fat, you are tall, you are white, you are this, you are this. We often forget, and we take the identity or every word that everybody all say and say it is true. Paul was praying over and over, and that was his prayer. Father, open the eyes of my reader back then and now to understand who they are in Jesus Christ. And if we see his prayer, for example, before we go to chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul says this, I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, open, understanding, have a knowledge, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in saints. He's talking to the glory, the power that imputed to his saints, which is believer. And then verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? They are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. And his might is talking about God, the Holy Spirit that works in us and dwells in us. And that's Paul's prayer. Father, open their eyes so they may see, they may understand who they are. Often we forget, often I forget that when some people try to discourage me, sometime the spirit of Antichrist trying to put me down and trying to, mock me, trying to discourage me and say, whatever you are doing is not worth. Give up. Walk away. You have a great opportunity. Do something else, but don't talk about Jesus. So Paul, over and over emphasizing, first three chapters, his focus is who you are in Jesus Christ. What is your identity? What power you possess? That is God the Holy Spirit. And after that, in chapter 4 to chapter 5, his focus, walk worthy. Now you have been trained, now walk worthy. Now you walk according to what God have invested in you. Be a mighty warrior. Be a example. Be a light. Do not walk in a Gentile the way they, mock God. Walk worthy, so they say, their God is mighty. And throughout the history of nation of Israel, guess what? Whenever they were walking worthy and believing in God and focusing on God, armies, millions of millions of people were saying, their God is great. Their God is true. Their God is with them, in their side. So that's the chapter 4 to 5. And then finally he says in chapter 6, verse 10. He said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power have invested in you. Let that power make you courageous. and it's all about choice. It's all about choice, and it's a daily choice. It's like about a wrestler who one time defeated, but he don't lose his hope. If he have a good guide or good trainer, he will say, don't worry. Prepare yourself more and more, more and more to fight to the point that you win. So he said, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And his might, his power, his energy, and his strength, that is God the Holy Spirit, as we just sang. Those with us are more than those against us. The with us is God the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus Christ, his all angels in our side. And verse 11, he said, okay, now you understand, and now you are walking, so keep on walking, and which is, he's saying, put on the full armor of God. If you consider yourself soldier in a spiritual conflict, he said, girdle up. Prepare yourself. Everyday battle. Like we just saw a small movie from 300. They were very well trained. And that's the method Paul is using. I'm training you. You were a baby and you were, you know, crawling and crawling. And I can see one day you will walk. And after you have enough muscles to walk. And one day I like to see you stand firm. Stand firm and be courageous and hold on to what you have learned. So that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of devil. He have a lot of schemes, and he focused to destroy believer. He don't give any, you know, his time those who's already in his side. He spent his time, invest his time to destroy believers. So Paul says, for our struggle is not against the flesh, against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the power, against the worldly forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's one God and one enemy, and his name is Satan. His focus to destroy you. Our focus to destroy by himself? No. To live a life of victory. So he said, we have a struggle, and I believe everybody in this room struggle every day. Maybe you have a pain. Maybe you are struggling with something going on in your family. Maybe something in your soul. Maybe you are struggling over, oh, I'm not good enough. How I'm going to, you know, be good enough to have that kind of girlfriend, or I'm not worthy to, you know, approach that girl. Just want to let you know, I wait patiently for the Lord. And guess what? He gave me a wonderful, beautiful, and awesome helper. And if you wait, I know you have that struggle in the United States. When I came first time, I saw people almost 99% naked, and I was shocked. And you grew up here, and I can see these struggles. Maybe you know, so merge into the culture, but that sin nature, like a dog sitting inside, he bark. Like a wolf when he, in night, trying to focus, to find, to destroy or catch his, you know, object, he will make voice. Just like that, the little dog, the sin nature, the flesh is sitting in us, and we are struggling. And when we feed that little sin nature, he will say, yeah, feed me. And as more and more we feed our soul with the word of God, that voice will feed me. So, and it will happen. when you feed your soul with the Word of God. And you, I know, you know, we are struggling in various part of in our spiritual walk. Some struggle with sex, some struggle with money, some struggle with, you know, how I can, you know, be conformed to the group in my school. How can I get in? How can I get in to be, you know, praised, to be good, and do these all kind of, you know, things, even they are, the things are wrong. So we all struggle. And our struggles against all principality, all demonic activities. I have a lot of stories to tell you about demonic activities, and it will make you jump. Real deal. So, whenever you read your Bible, everything is true in the Bible. If God saying there is a Satan and demonic and demons, it is true. It has been, you know, throughout many churches, they don't like to talk about struggle. Just good thing. Don't offend anybody. There is a Satan and his focus to destroy. So we have struggles. And then verse 13. Therefore, we have struggled. That's the reason. Therefore, take up. Take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. We are living in evil days. In evil days. And he is trying to do everything to take your purity, especially young people. I wait, and I was holding on the promise, Psalms 37 verse 4. Delight your soul, or you delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But you have to make a decision to delight in him. Make him your first focus. Make him the first person in your life. Because the evil days are here. And verse 14. Stand firm, therefore. Stand firm, therefore. Stand firm, therefore. Having girdle your loin with truth. In Pakistan, when I was getting trained to become a wrestler, there's a special underwear they make. Special underwear, and that is from a teacher that you have to wear, which is mean. Control yourself. And that underwear you tied so much, and you never take that underwear off. Only when you need to go to bathroom. It was the focus, do not lose your control. Do not give any reason to your flesh to go wild. And here is saying, Paul saying, girdle up. Put your belt of truth. And putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. Keep the word of God, your breastplate. Righteousness. Remember that his righteousness is your stand, and you are standing in his stand because he is the only righteous one. And you become a justified and righteous in him. And our enemy will say everything to destroy that confidence and say, you are not righteous, you are little pig. He will try everything. So remember that you are righteous. And verse 15, and having soiled your feet with preparation of gospel. So be a feet of a gospel like Proverbs 25:25 says, you know, the gospel come from a distant land. It is a cold water for thirsty soul. So you can't be a thirsty, you can't quench thirsty soul unless you go there. So be a representation of Jesus Christ. So your feet must bring the good news. And that can be take place in your school. There's so many people have so many bad news. And every day, as I was observing or learning, the suicide rate in the United States is high, very high. It's not because they don't have shoes, not because they don't have food, not because they lost their electric power, not because they don't have air conditioning, not because they have no gas in their car, because they have everything but they don't know how to handle. And guess what? I have too much and I will end up killing myself. So please be a feed of good news to those who are maybe hopeless, helpless, and discouraged in your school. And that's why we are here. This camp is all about fun and all about love God, learn about Him, and go back. Not just only in this camp. Like I remember Jalen was saying long ago, hey, you are in a Bible bubble camp. So don't leave that Bible bubble here. Take that Bible bubble with you anywhere you go. So take whatever you learn with you and use it. And 16, in addition to all, taking up the seed, the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of evil one. Keep your faith of shield right there. Keep your faith. Keep your faith. That was a Paul prayer, and he was telling Timothy, I have done, I am completely done, I know my time has come, and now keep up the faith. Keep up the faith. How you keep the faith? When you speak of the faith, continually speaking of your faith. That's the way your faith will be, you are keeping. If you don't use your faith, guess what? It will be dead, like James said. If you have a faith and there's no action, it is like a dead. Same like no matter how beautiful or sharp knife you have, if you never use, it will get some rust, right? And it will be not usable. If you will try to threat somebody and say, hey, he will say, hey, it's not working. It's the same. If you don't use your faith, guess what? It will come dead. It will be useless. So that's why he's saying, keep up the shield of faith. So continually sharing that faith with others. I don't know how much time I got. So that's the struggle. Yes, I know. Thank you. And verse 16, and take the helmet of salvation. That's the other big lie from that fat liar, Satan. I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm talking about that loser. His name is Liar. And he will attack and will say, when you fail, he will say, are you sure that you have eternal life? Are you sure that you are redeemed? Are you sure that what Jesus said, it was true? Or you are just, going crazy. So, take the helmet of salvation. Remember that you are redeemed by God and keep that in your head. Keep in your head that you are redeemed by God, you are justified by God, you are what you are by the grace of God. So do not let the Satan drag you down into his pity party. Dungeon. Good, Chris. So, keep the helmet of salvation on your head. In a simple way, there's a no helmet that you will be carrying on in your school. It simply means remember that you are redeemed. Remember that you have a salvation. Remember that your Redeemer is greater than he who is in the cosmic system, in a darkness world, in a hopeless and dying world. So the power have invested in us, it's awesome power. And I always remember that message. God do not need our ability. God never need our ability. He only desire our availability. If we are available, God will do miraculous things as He done in the life of Noah. As He done through Moses, Gideon, Daniel. All these are stories. It is a wonderful encouragement for us. As I think it's and Paul talking in the chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, he talked about verse 4. These all things is written for our instruction, for our encouragement, for our knowledge, so we can, you know, look back and say, if they can do it, we are also able to do it only the same and simple way. David said, Moses said, Noah said, nobody will believe me. How can I go? Can I go? I'm not worthy. How can I can stand like a Jeremiah? God said, that's what I'm looking. When you say, when you recognize that I'm unable, yes, then I tell you that I'm able and I got all the power to do so. So God never need our ability, but He seeks, desire our availability. And if you are available, no matter if you can't speak good English like me, He will use you. And I have seen Him using me. And I believe He will continue to use me until I'm having heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And He will use you. Only the reason, the question is, are you going to let Him? So, I think my time is done and I will close in prayer, and then I want to leave you with an awesome small movie. And let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. And Father, please use every phrase that you need, that you see it's fit in everybody's life. If there's anything was not from you, Father, take that away and give us wisdom to discern, to test the false teachers and the false spirits, which is the Antichrist that is trying to destroy the unity of church, trying to destroy the focus of the church. So Father, give us wisdom to do awesome work that you have desire for us to do. Until you come, Father, give us wisdom to continue to use your power that you have sent as a helper, God the Holy Spirit, to listen to Him, to follow and continue to hear His whisper. because we are bombarded by so many other news. We need your Spirit. I pray for especially this young generation that you can make a difference, you can change the history, and you can do miraculous things through them. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's watch this movie and enjoy the power of God.